Blog Talk Radio.
Fire Talk, Stage Left. I am your host, David Little Eagle, with my co-host and producer, Nell Cole. The song that you just heard is Just Like That, written by the awesome guest that we have on the stage tonight. His name is Joseph Strider. But not only is he a musician, singer, songwriter, there are many, many facets to this awesome human being. So it's with great pleasure and with a great honor I introduce to you at this time Joseph Strider. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you, Dave. You're way too generous.
Love it.
Where did you get, what version of that, Just Like That, is that?
Isn't that the one that came off the CD?
It did. It sounded different.
Mm. I don't know. I believe it came right off the CD.
That's all right.
I love that version. That's really good stuff.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
You know, for everybody who hasn't met you yet, Joe, I would love for our listeners to know a little about you, you know, who you are, where you are, what you do besides music, and you are one fantastic musician. I got to listen to your songs, fantastic musicianship, really, really, really sweet, brother. So tell us a little about yourself and let our listeners get acquainted with you.
Okay, let's see. I reside just out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. One of the ways I make a living is I fix things. I work on homes and stuff like that, and not really my favorite thing, but it helps to pay the bills. And the other thing, which has become pretty important in my life, is being a chaplain, as far as the Native, or rather the Department of Corrections of Pennsylvania deems it. But what I am is I'm a Native American spiritual advisor / leader to the Native or Native affiliated or Native, the Native people, but also the people or the men who found that searching through religion, that they found that Native American spirituality, or the, as most call it, the Red Road, or the Path of Good Intent, is the path that they, that moves them, that really feels right to them. And that actually plays a really big role in my life. I think about what's happening with the prison and how guys are coming along probably every day. That really impacts my life, actually. It's a wonderful job, and on the other hand, it's extremely stressful. I work there on Saturdays, and I get there in the morning, and throughout the day I have at least 60 guys vying for my attention, questions, wow, I could go on and on and on and on about how that, but
sure.
It's a really tough job, and I don't know, it's a tough job, and because I know how people see convicts, and I do my best when I go to meet them. I tell them right off the bat, I don't want to know why you're here. I said, however, if you feel that it's that it would be essential to your healing, then by all means, you know,
right,
then let's talk about it. But most of these guys who come through are, you know, like I was told, I believe it most times, there are no atheists in foxholes. And it really seems that way. But I have a council who's they're a pretty good bunch of guys, and they're working really, really hard to fix themselves and to fix their hearts, and so that that when they get out, they don't do something stupid to go get back in. So that's primarily my job here now there, and working on their spirits or helping them to work on their spirits. I have to be careful with my language.
You know,
like with my, I feel that I'm just conduit, and then the same here with the prison conduit, and hopefully, like elders do to me, I rarely answer them with an answer as much as answer them with a question, you know, because it's their decision, it's their choice what they're going to be doing with their lives.
Which is very contrary to mainstream religions that dictate to people how to act, how to dress, how to behave, what to eat, what not to eat, and it becomes a whole set of dogmas and a whole bunch of extraneous traditions and they become burdensome. You know, the word religion comes from two Latin words meaning to bind back. And it seems to me what you're offering these brothers is the spiritual way, which is freedom. That's true freedom. And that is a really powerful, powerful thing, brother. Now, tell us a little about your music. What inspires your music? Because we're going to be listening to a couple of your songs in the course of the show. You know, what speaks to your heart when you write your songs? Because they're really powerful, brother.
Oh boy, let's see. Well, I mean, I guess all of them individually have their stories. You know, how they came to be, and I mean, like the one that you just played, just like that. Some years back, I had this dream, and I was having a chat with Neil Young, and I couldn't tell you what it was all about, but it was just, you know, just chatter, really. And in this dream, you know, we're having our conversation, and Neil Young gets up and says something like, you know, I got to go, good to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And he's walking off, and he goes, oh, hey, by the way, he reaches into his back pocket and he pulls out this piece of paper. He says, I'm not going to use this. And he goes, here you go. And he gave me this set of lyrics. And I opened up the paper and I read it and I forced myself to wake up. And as quickly as I could, I wrote down, you know, what I could remember. And then I had to fill in the blanks. But that's how that came to be as far as the lyrics are concerned. And then with the guitar, I tried to not mimic a Neil Young kind of a grungy, rocky sound, but to kind of put my own twist on it. Because I think it sounds a little like a Neil Young guitar strumming, but, you know, but different at the same time.
Well, I just happen to be a major fan of Neil Young. I love that brother. And listening to your music, there are a couple of people you remind me of. In your vocals, you kind of comprise many artists. Or at least a couple of very good ones. I know. I recently did a show with a friend of mine. His name is Steve Kirkman, and we've done many performances together, and he's performed with Bill Miller. And when I heard your vocal on Just Like That, there were certain parts that reminded me of Bill Miller, and yep, your guitar reminded me of Neil Young. Do you use your music in your prison work? Do you ever share your songs with the guys there?
I have a few times. I don't do it as a practice, but every once in a while, I will go in there and play. They had actually enticed me to write something called read some time back. That wasn't too long ago, but yeah, I do mostly what I do there is there's a Dakota drumming song. It's an honoring song, and as I always tell them, that I'm honored to be there, and what I do is occasionally I will take my frame and sing that for them, but I really try to I figure it this way. My work there is really not about me, you know. It's about it's about the men there. So I don't take a whole lot of time to I mean, they're all aware of what I do outside of the prison, but I can't. I have one day a week over there, and I really try to give them, and I do. I give them all of my being, you know, as soon as I can. But to answer your question simply, I have, but I don't make it a practice.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, it makes sense. I can relate to what you're saying. I worked within a Anishinaabeg brother in a women's federal penitentiary, and I don't know how you. Well, no, I think I do know how you feel working with his brothers based on what you just said. It's not about you, it's about them. When I met these sisters, each and every one of them had a story to tell. And and like you, you know, you tell them, I don't know and I don't care why you're here. But if it serves to heal you, because that's what it's all about, my brother, isn't it? You know, these men were precious sisters, and many of them were hurting so badly. And I found that with each opportunity, as the feather was passed around, these women would tell their stories and open up. Sometimes they would cry, and there would be a change in them.
Yes.
You know, they would just open up, and suddenly they're beaming from, you know, just smiling ear to ear. And I can imagine that as you work with these brothers, that you experience the same thing because of that gentleness of heart that you show. That's very important work, and it's something, I mean, you're really multifaceted, Joe. And, you know, I'm sure that there are other passions that touch your heart because you sound like that kind of brother, you know. There is an indifference in you. And at this time, what I'd like to do is to prepare for the for some more questions and answers from your brother. Let's take a listen to Unarmed. I heard this song. That song really, really got to me, brother. And before we play it, could you share a little bit of what that song's about? And what inspired your heart to write this beautiful song?
Well, I forget which year it was. I was asked to perform at a peace fair in the town I used to live in Cranford, New Jersey. And it was the anniversary. Sorry. It was also the anniversary date of the bombing of Hiroshima, and and actually, it was also at this point where I decided that I would be Joseph Strider, and that I was also going to be working on that. I was going to devote much more time to playing music, but well, I mean, it was a peace fair. I'd already had meanings within meanings completed, and what I wanted to do was to write a song specifically for about peace, and so simply, I mean, the song just kind of came out. It was right. It was just the right time, and it gave me word I'm looking for. It fed me to go ahead and try, pass or fail, to play music. And then I figured, well, if I'm playing it, doing it, then I am passing. So, you know, it just changed my whole outlook on what I was doing, and also the opportunity to, as many to express, you know, the feelings that you have inside. I walk through life, and I am not blind, and sometimes I wish that I were, and I could see the racism, I see hatred, I see indifference, all these horrible things that people can't let people be and treat one another the way they want to be treated. And I live at it, and quite frankly, I feel like I'm always being put to the test. But I'm told that we're not giving these things if we can't take them. But I guess all of that, you know, I could go on and on and on about it, but that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Well, that sounds like a beautiful message, my brother, because it's something that I've dealt with many times. You know, the needless hatred that exists between, you know, people. You know, we all bleed the same color. You know, we all feel the same emotions. We all feel the same pain. So with that being said, let's take a listen to Unarmed by Joseph Strider.
Thank you. Have we lost touch? Pressure to play the game. Lost humanity. Where to turn and what to run to? I lean toward the sea. If you were me, you would see things differently. We can live in harmony.
Gentlemen speak to each other. I'm just kicking well, back and enjoying with a big old grin on my face.
Well, I was just wondering if you had anything to ask, anything to say, any comments, because Joe and I, we're both kind of out of it in our throat, so we need you to jump in and kind of give us some.
Don't worry, I'll be right there. No, this song, though, is so important because I've never seen anything so divided as what I see with natives and whites. And songs like this give me hope that we can overcome it and that there are people out there who are just willing to look at each other as the human beings standing in front of them and not first do skin color checks or eye colors or whatever. We have to come together just as human beings if we have any hope at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is really something. You know, Joe, the song kind of brought to mind the sacred hoop and the four sacred colors and all the colors in between, you know, and it really hurts me as, you know, as a Native man, you know, to see that division where I understand, you know, Columbus came and he caused a lot of problems between the people. And, you know, that still exists to this very day. But the thing that we have to understand as Native people is that not all people are like that.
Right.
You know, and when we have allies of different colors and different races and different cultures and traditions that say to me, hey, Dave, you know, we're by your side, man. Anything we can do to help you, we will. They're welcome in my circle. I love them. Right on, bro?
Yep, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You can't do it alone. I mean, and not to mention, there's just cool people of all races. No race has the exclusive corner on good spirits. Every race has good spirits in it.
You know, like in the prison, there are two guys that we've, well, not me, I just kind of advise, but the council is elected to be part of the council, and both of them, they claim no Native affiliation, not one drop. And these guys, wow, you know, if I saw more people walk the way these guys are walking in my presence, that's all I can say about that. But if I see people walking like that, wow, you know, I tell them, you know, this isn't this beautiful? Imagine if the world was like this. You know, imagine what a wonderful, beautiful, loving place. You don't have to worry about your children, and you don't have to lock your door, and it's cool if water drops by, you know, and amongst others. It's just, you know, it doesn't really seem really local, but I say so much to these guys, and I listen so much, and lots of times my words get all jumbled up in my head, but I guess, you know, I could refer back to that song about that. You know.
It sounds like they're your teacher. They're teaching you so many things each time you go.
Absolutely. Yep. They do every good and bad. And they
yeah,
love it.
Yeah, that's so true.
They love it. So naive about prison, you know. And they'll tell me things about it, and I just look at them all wide-eyed, and they just fall over laughing. They're like, you're so naive. Don't change, man. Don't change.
Wow. You know, the one thing that I heard a great line on Dances with Wolves, and I am not a fan. I'm sorry to say it. I'm not a fan of Kevin Costner for reasons that are pretty well known in the corporate world. Of course, he can't find any success at this point after what he did to the Lakota people. But we're not going to talk about that right now. but there was a great line in Dances with Wolves where Graham Greene at Kicking Bird says to Shokumani Tutanko Owachi, he says, you know, you're walking the path of a true human being, and that is the greatest teaching that we can offer our children and our children's children.
Yeah.
The path of a true human being walks in respect toward all life. And you know what, brother? That's what I hear in your music. This is music that expresses respect and love and humbleness before the great sacred, you know? And it just blows my mind.
Well, that's great. I can't say that I intend to do that. I don't think that's my intention when I start writing, but as far as life, the way that I walk, it certainly is. And, you know, I'm big on taking responsibility. on actions, or, you know, I'm really big about that. And
right.
No, I wasn't always a nice, responsible guy. No, I wasn't. So I was a kid and I was a drunk. And but that's, you know, a long time ago, and I've learned a couple of things since then. And you know, and I don't begrudge anyone for being in that state. However, I do hope that they can grow out of it, you know.
Right.
And
right.
I've been asked, well, what do you mean? You can't stop drinking without a 12-step program. And I said, well, you know, well, how did you do it? I woke up one morning and I decided I wasn't going to drink anymore. You know, and that was weird. So, you know, but that's me. You know, and I took responsibility for my stupidity. You know, and as I said earlier, I'm feeling right now in my life that I'm being tested, and I feel a lot of weight on me right now. And I mean, I've even thought about, which is really stupid, because then I go against the fact that I'm playing music for myself, to stop, you know. And I've considered that as well. But you know, and then I walk into my guitar room here, and I look, I got all these guitars hanging on the wall, and I'm like, oh, stop!
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can relate
like
to that.
It's like stopping breathing. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
Now, whether you stop it for other people is a whole other question. But when people play music, it calls to them, and you know, the mistress in the night kind of thing. So
yeah,
it'll always be a part of your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. Yeah.
But
I figure.
I can relate to you again, Joe. I mean, you know, people are always saying, damn, Little Eagle, you're such a nice guy. And I'm saying, ha, 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 if only you knew me.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I can also relate to this, you know, and maybe this is true, but I believe it's true of you. A lot of my songs, which, you know, while they're not autobiographical, I think that they do reflect past experiences, and they also reflect current events in my life and the current callings and testings.
Right. How could they,
you
know, really? Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, you're really something else. That the one thing that I have to say about Unarmed. And I know that a lot of people don't like this word, but there is something so haunting about it, because it kind of takes you. The guitar playing is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, that is the most beautiful guitar I've ever heard, and the vocal, really haunting and beautiful. And it kind of takes me back into different times and places, and I'm like, okay, you know, before I start crying, let me say how beautiful it is in that. You know, really, really, really beautiful stuff. So would you, I guess you could say the same thing then, Joe. You know, a lot of these songs are reflections of various aspects and facets of your life, aren't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They yes. You know, it's, how can it not be? You know, it's a feeling. You know, what is a song but a feeling? You know,
right.
So sure, yeah, absolutely. And speaking of guitar, yeah, I'll be going back in the studio to finish up an instrumental, guitar instrumental piece, with every song, I mean, there's a story behind it, and actually the songs are the stories, you know. And it's like my girlfriend Liz says, well, how are people supposed to know this, you know, if you don't explain it to them? And it's like, one, speaking of who popped in here, Daris. She's been doing some wonderful things for me, and I really appreciate it. And one day she says, "When are you going to write a song for me?" And I was actually working. I was actually working on something, and I said, "You know what? That's something that I should do." And I started working on this one piece, and I just took her, the Running Creek, and I took that, and I went to a running creek, you know, in my mind. And they actually, the song, before I play it, I explain that I would like for people to go to that stream and follow that ripple of water or that leaf floating down, and if you could picture that and you listen to this one tune, Running Creek, I swear it'll take you there. It'll take you right there to that stream, watching that thing go down its way, heading towards the ocean. So I just thought I'd mention that.
Wow, that's sweet. I hope she's listening tonight.
Oh, she's in the chat room. She's
all right,
definitely listening.
Okay, so we said hello.
Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful. Awesome.
And that's one thing I find about Joseph's music is it does visually take you right with him. And that's why I like his songs so much, because I'm right there and I get to see his mind's world. And there's, to me, nothing more magical than when you actually get a invitation into somebody else's world.
Mm. Wow, that's a very haunting thing to say now, you know what I'm saying?
I like the word haunting. To me,
I know you do.
I love that word because it's rich.
I do too.
Texture, and it says that you touch somebody's soul when you get down to using the word haunting. So I like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, as musician to musician, Joe, it is, to me, when I write a song, it is an invitation to others to come into my world.
Yes.
And come to my heart. And you know, really, there's nothing haunting about it because the door is open and the lights are on. But so what happens, and at least in my experience, and I'm sure it's happened to you because you've done it to me just a few minutes ago, Joe. Thank you very much. You know, a song I do may haunt somebody, but
yes,
it may make them touch upon something in their own life that needs touching upon. And that's what music is all about. It's a language that even if you're not a musician, your heart can understand it. And that's the beauty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, we have another song coming up. And I'd like to hear a little about it. I love the title. It's called The Giving Song.
Oh, The Giving Song.
Ooh. So tell us about it, bro.
Well, let's see. The Giving Song. I think that pretty much sums it up. And what are the words in there? I'm having a little difficulty remembering the words.
Well, why don't we play the song first, and then that way it'll pull you back into it and let you sum it up on the other end.
I go through that all the time, even with my instrumentals, I can't remember the words. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to hear at this time The Giving Song, and then we will be back with this awesome brother and my awesome co-host, Mel Cole, Joseph Strider, and his song, The Giving Song. Let's hear it.
Now, aspirations scribbled on a note, stuck underneath my shoe, with the way off my ego. It left long ago. Never did me any good. And once I sung my song for you, it's yours. I give it to you. A gift from softly pass it along, giving song. It's yours to give away to. It's free, this giving song. Always has and always will be. Today and tomorrow, it's yours to borrow. This giving song I give to you. Tomorrow may bring another day to celebrate. Another chance to sing. Lift the weight up off your ego. You don't need it. Let it go. True freedom is the key. When I listen as you sing for me, taking delight in your voice, a gift from. Take it to heart and pass it day long, a giving song. It's mine to give away.
I remember now.
Well, happy we could refresh your memory.
It was simple because I wanted to do some kind of a throwback 60s kind of thing, but I couldn't. But so what it was that I actually kind of took those chords from someplace, which I'm not going to say, and I turned them around a little bit and kind of jazzed them up a bit, and it's really simple. And the giving song was just a metaphor for love. That's all it was.
Right.
It's simple as that.
Oh, yes, that's what it's all about, isn't it, brother? Listening to the giving song, and I have to tell you, there were a couple of songs I did not listen to because I wanted to be surprised, and I was very pleasantly surprised. You know what it kind of reminded me of was a really, really stunning version of a Rocky Mountain High kind of song, but that takes you to, wow. I mean, you're really something else. You're like a musical chameleon.
Right. Really, 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 really try.
Fantastic. I mean, that was really beautiful. Which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is a show about a wonderful musician. His name is Joseph Strider, which we're going to get some information from him as far as being able to purchase his CDs. So you can obtain this beautiful music. But, Musicians are not, we're not islands, and many times we're inspired and encouraged by other musical styles and other musicians. I know Bill Miller, for one, is a big fan of Bob Dylan, and oftentimes sings songs like him. But I love the giving song. It took me to a place where I'm closing my eyes and I'm listening to this song, and I'm envisioning different aspects of giving and caring, and that is the message that you wanted to get across.
Yes.
And what greater gift can we give to our, not just our fellow human beings, but to all life on Mother Earth. And under Father Sky, but love, people call me tree hugger. I say, damn right, it is about love. I love people, I love animals, I love flowers and trees. And no, I'm not a hippie, and I do not wear a flower in my hair. But it is about love. That was a really beautiful song, brother. And at this time, could you let our listeners know how they can purchase a CD from you?
You can go to cdbaby.com and look for Joseph Strider. It's that simple. They have CDs, and I at present I'm out of meanings within meanings within meanings, and I'm just like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, do I put the money into the next CD, or do I burn some more? I'm right now, I'm not sure, and fortunately, I have someone, hi Darius, looking into this matter for me, so I can figure out if I can actually afford another small run for the Meanings Within Meanings.
Right. Right. I also believe you have a YouTube page, don't you? That people could catch on YouTube.
Yes. If you go on Facebook and go to the info page, there's links. There's several links there. Reverb Nation, my Sonic Bids page. CD Baby, I forget exactly what else, or you can just Google my name, and there's all sorts. I go on there every once in a while and crack myself up and see what's going on the Google page. It's really interesting. Last time it was, I think the last time I checked, there were like 29 pages. I just fell over laughing. I was like, wow, this is weird. You know?
Wow.
It's almost as weird as sitting in front of a camera to take photographs. You know? That's a really kind of thing. And you'd be really hard-pressed to find one of me, a photograph of me as a child. Really hard-pressed. And as a matter of fact, you know, speaking of that, I'd like to say that I'm really happy that Beth Hain is consented to come back and deal with my site, and which she reminded me, Joe, we need some more pictures and some videos, and she's also the one who's done the artwork for my upcoming instrumental called String Theory. So yeah, that. Working on that right now, I have 16 brand new instrumentals, and I don't know if I'm going to put them all on there, because there's a couple of them that there's another thing I'm working on called Daughters of Eve, and it's strictly on women, and that I want to throw some instrumentals on that as well.
Beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
One of the things. And then there's also, since you got me going, then I'm also working on another one called The Journey. And actually, The Journey is just, it might end up being two CDs, or at least one and then another one. But basically what I'm doing is going to different areas. Like, one of the songs deals with a couple of kids on the rooftop in New York City, and then another song is about a honky-tonk bar and little vignettes in between. And it's a journey. It's a story of life and lives, you know. And so I'm working on that as well. So I've got a lot of things going on here. My only problem is lack of money. There you go. But
what's with me?
I was listening to an interview with Beck today, and I was reminded. He said, you know, to do a really full, complete, really outstanding lot of work on a CD, you're looking at, you know, you want to do it well, you're looking at $50,000 easy, you know, and that's just for a CD. And a friend of mine told me he'd give me the brother-in-law price of $20,000, and I say, well, you know, I really appreciate that.
Yeah,
let me count my pennies here.
I'll give you some of that.
Least possible and get the best that I can for that. But an instrumental, you know, it's not too bad. It's taken a hold of my wallet, but I don't know. As I said earlier before, you know, I get these things of why am I doing it, and then I have to remember that I'm actually doing it for me no matter what. So,
right.
But I'm looking forward to back in the studio again.
Right. Now, do you have your own recording studio, or do you go to others? Because I've done my own, recording at home and going, oh my God, that really sucked. You know, cool people like the quality. I have what they call the poor man's production system, and you know, it does work. But seriously, brother, I think more people need to hear your music. So, you know, once again, you know, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters out there, you know, listening to Fire Talk Stage Left right now, with our special guest, Joseph Strider, musician, singer, songwriter, and one outstanding human being as well. His music is gorgeous, and you know what? I'm going to order a CD, and I really, you know, I think we need to keep this music alive. And if you're ever in Putnam County, New York, there's a place called the Town Crier Cafe, actually in Dutchess County in Pawley, New York. If you ever stop by there, I can share the information with you at some point. I would love for the owner, Phil Saganer, to hear your music, brother, and just get your music out there. You have some beautiful
by there,
mess, you know.
Yeah.
And we got to get your music out there. What do you think, Mel?
Absolutely. I'm so glad that y'all two are hooking up, because I think that's what it takes too. There's ways to build network, even if you don't have a lot of money. There's a lot of tools out there that can be used to move the music forward. And you know, we're always here. Every CD you got a home right here.
I'm real working on it. Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of things that I'm juggling right now, and that's you started talking about recording, and I'm kind of a minor idiot savant. It's like everything I play, I don't know if you know this, David. I don't know how to read a note. Okay, I have no idea. I look at music and it looks like these little spiders bouncing around, right? And I can't do it. I can't see it. I can't follow it. So fortunately for me, I don't see music like that. I close my eyes and it happens, you know. That's the only way I can make music. Is it happening? You know.
I'm going to tell you a little secret, okay? I don't want anybody else hearing. So mute it out, guys. I don't read music either. Well, I can read melody, but other than that, you know, I'm musically dyslexic. But
yeah,
the music
comes
from heart and spirit, you know.
Yeah, it makes my eyes kind of go. You know, have you ever seen a kid when you spin them round and round and then they stop and you look in their eyes?
Going opposite directions, yeah.
Well, it looks like you gentlemen are doing fine without knowing it, so it's not a problem.
That's right. It comes from your heart, brother. I mean, this music is really extraordinary, man. You know, maybe you and I can exchange CDs and we can have a mutual, hey, not bad for two guys that can't read music.
And, you know, it's funny because some of my instrumentals are pretty darn intricate, right? And I have to say this because it cracked me up so bad and it befuddled me all at the same time. But I went to play at this open mic, and there were a couple of classically trained Spanish guitarists. And I was really impressed. We were having a great conversation. We were really getting along. And we're sitting there, and it was right before I went to go up to play, I was talking to him, and I said, you know, I honestly can't read a note. I don't know. And they looked at me really strangely. And so I got up, and I think I probably played Euphoria Syndrome. And as I was playing, I got halfway through the song, and one of the guys that I was talking to just looked at me. He had this look of hatred on his face looking at me. And he got up, and he slammed his guitar shut into his case, and he just scowled at me, and he turned around and he stomped out of the coffee shop. And I was like, what the hell was that all about? And I just thought it was really hilarious, and at the same time I was totally befuddled. And then the other guy who'd stuck around, you know, he started talking about the piece that I had played, he said, don't worry about it. I forget the guy's name. He said, don't worry about him. He thinks that what you're playing is wrong. And you're not playing it sequentially. It's incorrect, you know?
Yeah.
But the problem is pretty good, you know? So I thought that was You know, that was, and I wanted to take theory, but someone talked me out of it. I think that's great. I mean, that's a hell of a discipline to be able to sit there and learn arpeggios. You know, you sit there for years learning arpeggio, you know?
Right.
But I'll tell you what, I can't, you know? I just can't sit there and do it because it'll move me for a couple of minutes, and then I just got to jump out of the way. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I just thought of that story, you know, and I think, you know, I love Spanish guitar, and I have to say I'm not worthy to many Spanish guitarists. You know, they're really, really good, and that's some of my stuff is like the beginning of Rush In. It's just a little teeny tiny Spanish guitar thing, not much, you know, because I don't play Spanish guitar. However, my influences from Andre Segovia to Les Claypool from Primus to
right.
Tommy Emmanuel, Bruce Coburn, Michael Hedges, you know, you know, I don't care, you know, a good guitar is a good guitar, you know, and you know, and it's like Gary said to me, you know, it's really, really hard to be a bad musician. It really is. There's a lot of work put into being a musician. And if you're bad, you know, you worked really hard at it. You're just bad at it. So imagine the work that it takes if you're not born with a guitar hanging out of your mouth or an instrument to be a really good, you know, that's even a lot more work. You know,
right.
I like talking to Gary. He's thrown some things at me that I never thought about. You know, as Joe, he says, "You're good." That's as far as he'll go and give me. So, but I respect his opinion because he'll say, "Oh, you got to listen to this guy. He will blow your off." You know, and and he does. He really knows really great guitars. You know, so that's really helpful. I know I'm just babbling now, so.
No, you're not babbling. You're speaking good stuff, my brother. You know, I can relate to all the things you're saying. And you know what? We're not going to mention names, but think about it, brother. You know, your playing is really beautiful, and like I said, it kind of brings tears and chills to me. You know, songs like Unarmed and the Giving song. I have experience, and I've been told, you know why he's so pissed at you, Dave, is because he's jealous, you know. And
I'm
told by very wonderful musicians, you know, David, you know, you play so beautifully and you play by ear. I mean, all I can do is read music. I can't improvise. I can't, you know, I can't do the different things that you do. And you know, I think that both gifts are very, very precious. And when you utilize the gift that Tunkashula gave you, brother, the way you do, your mind, your heart, your spirit, brother, it is an awesome gift. You, brother, are a gift. And we really appreciate you, and we thank you for being on the show with us tonight. Nell, do you have any closing comments?
Well, one, we still have a couple more songs.
Oh, yes, we do.
So,
I got cheated here. I only got four. Do we have another one to listen to? Because we're going to hear it. Which song is that on?
We're going to, we're going to play She Said, and we're also going to play Full Moon Rising.
Gotcha. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, and I want to thank my co-host and producer. If it wasn't for her, I'd be walking around like people out ahead. Thank you very much, dear. We are going to hear She Said by the one and only Joseph Strider. Brother, let's rock. Let's hear the song.
Okay.
tomorrow she sang. There's always a line to slide ahead. So please place your hand within and we'll leave the past behind, and we'll walk our path together, and we'll pick the hand.
Why do you do that?
I know, that
wow.
is as rich as it gets, isn't it?
Oh, man.
You know, that's a song about love lost and hope, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, and you know, it could be he said as well, but it's like...
Right.
You're offered something by someone, and then... And they say, I'll never go away. I'll never do that. And
yeah.
And then you're there, and then they go. You know, they did, after they offered you this and said, I'll always be there for you forever, and then
yeah.
they go away. And then
yeah.
you go, I want that, but I don't want it with her. I want that, though. You know?
Right.
So then that's the hope, you know? Or maybe I do want it with her, but... I want that feeling again. I want it back. You know?
Wow. Well, you know, I wrote a similar song called "I Will Never Leave You," and you know, a friend of mine was listening to a CD that I had. It was a compilation, and the next day she sees me. She says, you son of a bitch, I was really enjoying the CD, then you done made me cry. You know, I think that music is the best expression, to, you know, for the truth. And, you know, when we deal with interpersonal relationships and we deal with you know, the counterparts of each other, you know, the... men dealing with women and women dealing with men. There are so many variables, and that song just, you know, just said it like it is, brother. You know, and I really, really want more people to hear this beautiful music. You cover every gamut of life in your music, brother. Really beautiful stuff, man. Beautiful.
Thank you. Awesome. I try, man. Every time I start a song, I'm like, this cannot sound like anything I've ever done. You know?
Wow.
So, do you consider yourself a storyteller?
I consider myself a storyteller as well. When I do a show, I like to talk about the songs, and I like to talk about where I was coming from. However, those do tend to change because it depends on my mood before I perform. You know?
Absolutely.
So I definitely do consider myself a storyteller as well. I don't consider myself a great storyteller, but a storyteller nonetheless. Yeah.
Well, visually, your songs are very rich, and the emotions just pull people in so deep.
Oh, yeah.
So when I'm listening to your songs, there's all kind of visions going through my head, and each time I listen, it's a whole different way, which shows how rich and layered it is. That again,
exactly.
Depending on your mood, you'll get a whole different visual show with your music.
I have this one called Indigenous Indignation Blood Remembers. When I was working on, I couldn't get through it without crying. And after I finished it and play it for people, I'd start crying. And it took me a long time before I could not cry when I played the song. I think the title of it says, you know, pretty much what it's about.
Yeah,
you know,
so I remember you playing that song with me.
My take on the Trail of Tears.
Yeah. I remember hearing your voice when you were describing it when we did a show in the past about it. And it definitely was powerful. That's what
I think
some
of
your...
Of it, actually.
Yeah. Some of these songs, you go so deep when you're playing it as you're drifting, but then it's hard to just hear that with everybody that quick because it is so deep sometimes. But I'm happy that you put yourself out there like that so that we can also feel it, and it awakens a lot in us as well.
Right on. Brother, let me ask you a question. How did you manage to record this song? It touched me just listening to it. How did you manage to record this song without just breaking down in tears?
Are you talking about She Said?
Huh? Yeah.
Well, because of like what I just said, that the hope, you know, it was the hope, and at the time that I wrote this song, it was after my divorce, and I met some people who really helped me, and Nell was one of them. Nell, how many hours on the phone did you spend with me? And you know, and so Nell's part of this song as well, because of hope. You know, I can't. You know, I have a friend of mine that we think a lot alike, but and we see the horror above the beauty more often than we prefer, but. One of the things that she really likes about me and that gives her some inspiration is that she says, you know what I like? You have hope. You still have hope after all this crap, you know? And so I think that's how I do it, David. You know, I still have hope and I know I'm going to die. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't want to live forever, you know? And because, As much as life is beautiful and it's a song, it's horrible. And I don't, some days I just have enough of it. And I just can't see living forever. But up until that time, I'm always hopeful. I used to think, oh, I was born too late because of all the 60s movement and blah, blah, blah. But as I got older, I realized that I'm born way too early, because I think that the change that's necessary and that's ultimately going to happen if we don't blow ourselves out of the universe is that we are going to be that way. We're all going to be tender and loving towards one another. So I was born way too early, because I'm not going to be able to experience that. However, I'm trying to do my part right now to add my 1 cent to hopefully get that to happen, along with everyone else who's throwing in their 1 cent. You know?
Absolutely.
Right.
So that's
you know, speaking of hope, you know, it's you know, in every relationship, and obviously, you know, you've been there, Joe, and I've been there, and many people out there listening to the show have been there. You know, there's a lot of fear in relationships, and I think that one thing that I just one more thing that I love about your music is that, as it, you know, it speaks of the truth. You know, it speaks of the fear, but it does speak of hope. And and you know, I think that just makes you a greater artist. Now, you may not think so, Joe. Okay, you know, and that's okay.
I think so.
I'm just little old me, really.
You're amazing. There are a number of singers, musicians that I can call storytellers.
Right.
And, you know, Billy Joel is one. Billy Joel is a fantastic storyteller. The man takes, you can't imagine a nice Jewish boy from New York singing about an Italian man in Long Island, you know, but he does it, and he does it so masterfully. And, you know, Bill Miller, again, is a great storyteller. And Joseph Strider, you, my brother, have, you know, you are right up there with the best of them. And I'm just like, totally blown away by you, bro. You know, thank you. Thank you so much. And I think now we have a closing song, and I want to know which one it is, my sister, which one is it?
Well, Joseph, before we close, can you tell us about Full Moon Rising? Because
yes,
I just
please.
Love that song.
All right.
Years ago, I was working with my dear friend and brother, Alex Brand. And Alex is a songwriter. And he really liked what I was doing guitar-wise. And he says, I have this song. I was wondering if you might could put it to some music. But he showed me what he was doing with it, and of course Alex is not a performer. I think he's a wonderful songwriter. But Alex doesn't put a lot of emphasis in performing, so obviously, you know, that's not what he does. He has some other great, wonderful talents. He's a glass sculptor. He's not a glass blower. He'll explain it to you. And he does beautiful, beautiful artwork and jewelry. He's an artist. His life is an art. You know, he's just a beautiful man. But Alex gave me these lyrics, and I worked on this song for a while, using his chords, but kind of changing things around, of course. And so I redirected the whole entire song, and all I did was put feeling with the music and vocalizing, but the words are from my brother Alex Brand, and so the song called Full Moon Rising.
Sounds beautiful. You know, with all these things being said, I just want to now I want to thank you, as always, for doing a wonderful job and for bringing us Fire Talk Stage Left in such a powerful and beautiful way. We've covered many things so far, and there's more yet to come. So, you know, many thanks to you, Nell, for the beautiful job you're doing.
Thank you.
And Joseph, thank you, brother, for
you, brother.
Sharing your heart.
And please email or whatever. Let's get in touch. Okay.
Well, brother, you're awesome, man. Thank you. Thank
I don't
you
want
very
to
much.
Or Nell has my phone number.
Yes, I do.
Good. All right, then we'll keep in touch.
Thank
we'll
you so much
touch.
For being on, Joseph.
Well, thank
all
you,
right.
Nell. I really appreciate it, Nell. Totally, and Dave and everybody else, and I hope you guys enjoy this song, too.
All right.
And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for this edition of Fire Talk Stage Left. I was your host, David Little Eagle. And with that, I say to you, walk in beauty, walk in hope, and with a song in your heart, be good to one another, because we're all we've got. Tok Shaki.
Oh, thank you, man. Starlight in my eyes.
can't wear it. But when I think about turning back, no, I can't bear it. So every day I face the doubt. Yes, and I dare. God gave me this broken voice. Yes, to share it. To share the gift of loneliness, ridicule, and shame. To overcome the bashfulness, the bitterness, and the blame. And then to shine with a full moon rising in my soul.